We'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And before the judgment seat of Christ, there is mercy, there is grace, there is reward. But before the great white throne, there is no grace, there is no mercy, there is only judgment. What we want to do is this. Some people, we say, I hope that person dies and goes to hell. I don't think we have a good understanding of what hell is when we say those things.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. The message you're about to hear today is part of a series that's entitled, You Asked For It. I asked the church family at Holt Assembly of God to pick four topics they'd like to hear me preach and share from the Word of God. The first topic they selected were the events of the end time. In Revelation 22:17, Jesus said, Behold, I am coming quickly. Are you ready should the Lord make his return today? Would your family members be ready should the Lord make his return today? I pray that you are blessed and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Today's message is part 9 of the timeline.
So people living during the millennial kingdom who have not been resurrected, who have not been changed, will be like we are. They have to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior as well during that period. Even though he's reigning, isn't it, now think about that, isn't it crazy to think that here's Jesus, he's come back, he set up his kingdom, he's physically in Jerusalem, he's there, and people are still going to rebel. Doesn't that show you how deceptive, how fallen flesh is? It just shows the grip of sin, doesn't it? It just shows the power of sin. The flesh is not going to change during that period, a fallen flesh. Do you understand what I'm saying? And they're going to have Jesus reigning and ruling from Jerusalem, and people are still going to rebel. Fathom that for just a moment. That should tell you, and listen, that should cause our hearts to break for people who are lost in sin. See, we get this view. People are wicked, they're nasty, they're vile. Yeah, and they're captive to sin. They're captive to sin. And I understand there's evil, and I understand that there are people that are just nasty, but remember the devastating effects of sin. 1,000 years of peace ends when Satan is released from the pit, and he is able to deceive people who are not yet glorified, people who have not or refused to submit to Christ. And for you and I, those who have, again, are born again, who are glorified, have witnessed all these great things, I don't think we're able to be deceived. And think about this. Why would you be deceived? Now, we know all this is going to take place. We'll have at this time experienced all these wonderful things. How on earth, why on earth would we ever want to turn ourselves to allegiance to Satan? It just doesn't make any sense. So his release gives a clear decision to people. Listen, if you want to ask the question, why is Satan released? Here is the answer. It's a new Garden of Eden experience is all it is. Think about this. They have to experience this. They have a choice. In the garden, there was a choice, correct? They could choose to eat from any of the trees in the garden. They could eat from the tree of life, but they couldn't eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil, correct? They had a choice. Satan was in the garden, correct? He deceived Eve. So what you have here is people who have lived for 1,000 years without evil being present on the earth. And now there's a new Garden of Eden experience, so to speak. They're either going to choose Jesus, who's reigning and ruling from Jerusalem, or they're going to turn to this guy who's been in a pit for 1,000 years. And for us, it just seems absolutely absurd for someone to then turn to Satan. But they will do it. Again, it shows you the power of sin. We who are born again, we who have been redeemed, we who have been glorified are not under that dominion of sin. We are under the dominion of Christ by then. Revelation 27:20, verse 7. If you go look for chapter 27, you're going to be looking for a long time. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out and deceive the nations and which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as of the sand of the sea. Verse 9, they went up the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who has deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Satan gathers an army, marches towards Jerusalem, and it's clear-cut victory. God just rains down fire and brimstone from heaven and just obliterates them. And those who die in this battle, those who align themselves with Satan during this period, they are the ones who will await the second resurrection, along with every other person who has rejected Christ before then. The second resurrection consists of all who have rejected the revelation of God, His grace and His mercy throughout the ages. So the question is, what's the first resurrection? What is the first resurrection? Let me ask you this. When Jesus died on the cross and was raised from the grave, were there people resurrected that day? They walked around the city, right? Old Testament saints is what they were. This is what's confusing by some people. What's the first and the second resurrection? The first resurrection actually is in parts. The second resurrection is distinct because it's for the unrighteous. The first resurrection includes the Old Testament saints, and it includes if we die now before the rapture, and it happens for those who die during the tribulation period. So that's what we're speaking of, the first resurrection. Remember, our sin is judged at the cross, correct? If we stay in fellowship with God, if we stay in fellowship and righteousness relationship with God, our sin is dealt with at the cross. See, when you die apart from Jesus and apart from the cross, your sin is dealt with at the second resurrection, where you have no mediator, where you have no hope, where there is no blood, where there is no one standing in for you or with you. The second resurrection is not a place anybody wants to be. The Bible describes a new heaven and an earth that follows us. You know, there will be joy, there will be peace, there will be a new heaven, there will be a new earth. No more devil. Aren't you excited about that? No more sin, no more death. However, let me say this. With this perspective, being able to look forward from our vantage point, having the scriptures, Jesus is coming, and the finality of those who reject Jesus, isn't that horrifying? Isn't it horrifying? See, what we do is this. We focus on the good, and I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. I want to go to heaven. I want to be away from this sin-filled earth, don't you? But it's horrifying to think of those who will be eternally separated by their sin. I want you to think about it. Just think about the condition of those damned for eternity. There are no exits in hell. There is no other way out. There is no hope. Look what happens to those who reject Jesus and are resurrected in the second resurrection. Look at this. Revelation 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, for those of us who experienced Jesus Christ as Savior and have experienced new birth and have experienced that first resurrection and we're glorified, we're changed, we will stand before a throne, but it's not that throne. We'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And before the judgment seat of Christ, there is mercy, there is grace, there is reward. But before the great white throne, there is no grace, there is no mercy, there is only judgment. What we want to do is this. Some people, we say, I hope that person dies and goes to hell. I don't think we have a good understanding of what hell is when we say those things. It's a horrifying thing. Eternity without Jesus. No mercy. In Revelation 22, 14 and 15, it says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to eat from the tree of life and may enter through the gates of the city into the city. But look, and this is speaking of the new heavenly Jerusalem. Outsider dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Can I have that rope for a second? And they're going to bring in this big long rope, and that's going to represent a timeline. And that timeline, as you can imagine, this rope has an end, but I want you to imagine it coming from here and going out the door and just continually going on and on and on. And it represents eternity. This little blue spot on this just represents your life. Just represents the average lifespan of a human being here on planet Earth. Let's say it's 80 years. Let's say God blesses you with 80 years. It don't matter if it's 80 or 120. It's still going to be a very small portion. Now, I want you to think about this. This is our life here on Earth. This is our life on the timeline of eternity. It goes on forever. It's a very small portion. But yet what we do in this part of life determines what happens to the rest of eternity. The rest of the timeline is determined by what occurs during this period. What we do in this time period matters. How we conduct ourselves, how we live our lives in faith matters, because it matters for all eternity. Secondly, how we reach people, how we minister to people, could affect the rest of eternity for somebody. Now imagine this. Here's our life here. That's great. And I think you all get the picture. Now I want you to think about this. There are going to be people living in a New Jerusalem forever, for eternity. But then there's going to be people who are living outside of the New Jerusalem. They're going to know, consciously aware of what takes place in that city for eternity. Can you imagine that? See, I don't know about you. This is where I struggle personally. Can I just be transparent for just a moment? This is where I struggle right here. It's not people so much going to hell. It's people going to hell for eternity that I have a hard time with. I really do. And listen, it's okay to have those thoughts, because this mind is not God's. His ways are not mine. I'm not holy. I'm not righteous. I'm not perfect. I'm a human being. I see things differently than God does. That doesn't make him wrong. It makes me wrong. I don't have his perspective. I don't have his understanding. But I'm just saying, from a human being point of view, I have a hard time with this, don't you? I have a hard time with people who sinned, who have lived apart from God, living in eternity apart from God, outside of the city gates, outside of the New Jerusalem, with no hope of ever going into that city. And listen, we can't change that. That's a fact from God's word. And so the reason why I preach that is to motivate you. Motivate you, first of all, to live your life for the glory of God. Secondly, to remind you this, every human life has value. Every person on planet Earth, I don't care who they are, what they've done to you, they have value, because they're going to live in eternity somewhere. Do I really want a person to suffer in all eternity in hell, apart from God, outside of the city, no hope? See, this is why it's so important to know the timeline, to understand the events that take place. Every person is redeemable. That's why I pray that this gets into the DNA of our church, that we have to look at people the way Jesus looks at people. They are eternal. Outside the city gates, outside are dogs, are sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers and idolaters, who loved and practiced a lie. But not only that, they continue to practice lie. They continue to love their sin. See, the Bible says this, that none of us, not one person, can ever claim that we're without sin. Not one of us. And the Bible says we are all without excuse. Every person is without excuse. This is the judgment of God. We may not like it. God is holy. God is righteous. God is perfect. We are not. We try to make God like we are, and it's impossible to do. When we do that, we miss out on what God's really trying to communicate from his vantage point. So what do we do about it? Well, we have a decision. We ourselves can choose to live our lives for the glory of God, to give our lives to Jesus, to live for him, to give it to him 100%. Secondly, then we have another choice. Our family, our friends, do everything you can. I'm not trying to scare anyone. I'm just trying to give you reality. This is reality. This is life, eternal.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope this message was a blessing and encouraging to you. The events of the end time should not cause us to be anxious as believers. Instead, the imminency of these great events should encourage us to ready ourselves and to ready others for the glorious return of our Savior. If you're in our area and you're looking for a church home, I want to encourage you to come and worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. We have children's ministries available. Or you can join us on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Again, I want to thank you for listening to this broadcast, and I pray that you are blessed and encouraged as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.